God, we thank you again, Lord, that your presence is here, that you want to move, that you're already moving in our church, in our valley, in our families, in our lives, Lord. And we just say right now that we want you to open up our eyes, open up our ears, our hearts, to behold wonderful things from your word, from your law. God, we pray that the word would go forth in the demonstration of power of your Holy Spirit, that my tongue and my lips would be anointed, and that all of our ears would be anointed to receive the message that you would give. Lord, we surrender to your plans, your will, and your way, God. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you ready to receive the word? Whew. I knew today was going to be good, not just because it's sunny outside. But you know, we've had some really great times in the Lord over the last couple weeks. And especially on our Wednesday nights, we've seen some healing. We've seen some breakthroughs in worship. And I'll level with you, for a pastor, that always leaves you in this place that you're thinking, how do we keep this? How do we keep in this vein that we've found of the Holy Spirit? And I began to think about that and ponder it and just kind of dwell on it. And I even asked, you know, some of our prayer people and some of our elders and some pastor friends that I know, that how do we steward what God is giving to us, and even more than that, what he wants to do in our future, which is more. And the answer to that is actually pretty simple. It's found in the text we'll be looking at in Exodus 33. You're welcome to turn there. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes here. But in our text, if you were here last week, Moses expected God to move. He expected God to move. Our expectation has to be that God wants to show up, and show up every time. Every time. He wants to be with his people. He wants to be with you and I. He wants that. And Moses knew enough about God to know that there is no end to God. There is always more. Because watch this, he both satisfies and always has more to reveal, because he's God. And we never reach the end of his presence or what he's capable of or what we can learn or see in him and through him. We only ever reach the end of our own wonder and own fascination of him, being preoccupied with our own ends instead of the one who is unending. You know, I had the pleasure this week of meeting with one of my mentors who's not able to be here, him and his wife both having health issues at the moment. But they're still watching. They're still praying and expecting God to move, wanting to be here when it happens. And I'll tell you this, because I've spent much time with them. They've seen some incredible revivals in their day. Moves of the Holy Spirit, thousands being saved, people being healed, miracles happening all around them and across the world, but they still think that there is more. Even after all of their experiences, a lifetime of knowing God, they have not reached the end. They're still passionate for God to move. And I'll tell you this, I hope that that is me too, that the older that I get does not see me move the farther away from the Lord, but the older that I get draws me closer to the Lord, knowing that there is always and always will be, for now and eternity, more. And still, for them, they feel like they were promised one more great move of God in their lifetime. You know, when I hear them talk about it, in the back of my mind is always saying, let this be it. I want to be part of that. It's a hunger that we should have for God to move. You know, church, I've seen healings. I've seen some miracles take place. I've seen thousands of people in one location just worshiping before the Lord. I've seen the Spirit of God so heavy on a place that hundreds line up to repent of their sin, and others rush the altar. The incredible thing about God, again, is that there is always more of Him. And I long for those moments where we don't want to stop. That when we have to leave, others are coming in off of work or whatever. And it's just this continual time of seeking after the Lord as a church, as a valley even, because it's going to take more than just us in this place. Where we're captivated by the thought of God's presence, where He is moving in such a way that people come to know Him because they come to see what is going on at that church. You know, I was talking with Pastor Jose. He's part of our Spanish church. He leads that. And he was telling me about a moment when he was a young man that he saw the fire of God fall on the church he was attending. And it was one of those moments, and this is how he tells it, that the church was literally, it looked like it was on fire. And fire trucks were called. And they came in to nothing actually burning. Because the presence of God was so heavy on that place and it was manifested in a Holy Spirit fire. Church, I want the move of God that's going to make a difference in our valley. That people will come to know the Lord because they have to see what is going on. Don't let what was meant for a multitude be only experienced by a few. You know, I was meeting with one of our board members a few days ago. And if you didn't know, there are men and women that are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for a board that actually loves Jesus, because that's not every church. But I was meeting with him, and I was reminded in our discussion of another revival called the Azusa Street Revival. Have you ever heard of that? It's a historical point in our Pentecostal history. But what most people don't know is there was another church experiencing a move of God that said essentially that they didn't want it. And it was right after that Azusa Street sprung up, not very far from that other church. Along with expectation has to be a willingness and a desire. Watch this. Not just to let God, but to want God. You see that difference? Not to just let God, but to want God. There's a difference if my children have to spend time with me because their mom says so. That's different than when my children come running to me or cry when they have to leave my presence. Church, what kind of child do you want to be with our Father in heaven? Because like a good father, He wants you to come. He wants you to come. We'll be continuing our passage this morning in Exodus 33. Exodus 33, you might have already turned there from a moment ago, but we're going to be reading verses 12 through 23. 12 through 23. It says this, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.' And he said, 'Please show me your glory.' Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. We're going to go a little deep this morning. Are you ready? You know, I loved, I was sharing with Pastor Nick right before I walked up here, that the prayers this morning, our prayer team that meets early, and the worship songs, everything, that just seemed to line up with what I was going to be preaching. And I didn't tell them everything that we were doing this morning. And so it was just a step after step, knowing that God wants to do something this morning. This is such an incredible passage of Scripture. It's been many messages preached from it, many songs written and sung about this moment of time in Moses' life. And I want you to see this. I believe this moment was the climax of Moses' life. Not the Exodus, not the promised land, not the burning bush, not the parting of the Red Sea. But the best part of Moses' life, the best part of your life, isn't what God has brought you out of. And it isn't where he's bringing you to. It's the pursuit of his presence in every moment. The knowledge that you can be in a living relationship with God. That you can know and experience the living God and never reach his end. We can't stay our minds on the past. And we can't focus everything on the future. If you have a chance to spend time with the Lord in a moment, then that moment is choosing the best thing to be with him. Jesus says in Luke 10:38 through 42, he says to Martha, about her sister Mary, who is not helping. And we've all been there. Sometimes people just don't want to help. But that Mary, she chose the best thing. Not because we shouldn't serve one another. Not because our homes shouldn't be clean sometimes. But because she had a moment where she could choose to spend time with God. To not miss that moment. And Jesus says to her, that will not be taken away. Church, some of us need to remember that time with the Lord is more important than a perfectly clean house. It's more important than overtime at work and extra cash on the side. When you choose what is best, God will provide or give time for the rest. Trust him. And that's something I have to remember all the time as well. I'm preaching to myself in that moment because I know, like you, that things get busy. People need help. Stuff starts breaking. Hallelujah. But it comes down to it. And you have to choose between extra time to work or some time with Jesus. Church, you need to choose Jesus and expect him to show up in all the rest. And I'm not saying that we don't have to work. I'm saying that we need to prioritize Jesus. Prioritize Jesus. In verse 12 of our passage, Moses asks this question. It's the first point of our message today. He asks, show me your way. Show me your way. Now, we should all be asking that question, and I think many of us do often. Show me your way. But I want to point out something here. He's not asking to show me the way. He's asking to show me your way. And that is, show me the way that you will go with me. Show me the way that you will go with me. And it's a lot different than we sometimes ask. We often want to know the path we're supposed to take more than the one we're supposed to take it with. And Moses faced a dilemma here. He knew where he was going. He was going to the promised land. He knew the end point, but he didn't know how to get there. Do you ever feel like that in your life? You know what God wants, but you're struggling to get there. Maybe God has spoken to you, but he hasn't exactly shown the way for that new job or that new location, or you stepping out in faith to see something happen, or you giving up something that you've been struggling to hold on to. Moses is in a dilemma, and he tells that to God. Show me your way. And he doesn't do it in a dishonoring way. I don't even think he does it in a complaining way. I think he was just stating the obvious that he was struggling. You know what? I love that God is big enough to handle our telling him that we're struggling. Don't be afraid to say, God, I am struggling. Because he usually looks down and says, finally, you're asking for help. And God can handle all the struggles that you throw at him. And remember that Moses got to speak at this time with the Lord like a friend. Church, you should be friends with God. You should be friends with God, able to speak to him and expect him to speak back. I'm thankful for a few friends that I can unload with. You thankful for those in your life? Those that can tell me when the problem is actually just me. We want some honest friends. And you know, you have to be ready because God is a pretty honest friend. And he's going to tell you the things that you need to change. And the best part of that is, sometimes the hardest part, he happens to always be right. Whether you believe him or not. But I think we could all be in this position sometime. But watch how God answers Moses. Instead of telling Moses exactly what to do or where to go, God says, I know you by name, and you found grace in my sight. Now, I'm going to level with you. Sometimes when the Lord tells me things like this, I still just want to know what to do. You ever in that moment where you're just wanting to know, God, I'm so glad you're all these other things, but I really just want to know what to do. You ever feel that? But when God says, I know you by name, it's a point of trust and encouragement, because what it means is this. And you can receive this in your life. I have singled you out. I have chosen and selected you. I recognize you as mine, chosen and called to execute my will. So it's not just you trying to figure out what you're supposed to do when you're praying. It's the will of the Almighty God working through you to accomplish his desires in and through you. And church, when God's will is at work in your life, it cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. You guys are set free this morning. God is saying that I have put you into a specifically personal relationship with me. One that we frequently commune together in. And watch this. I take great interest in you. That's what he's saying to Moses. That's what he wants to say to you this morning. He takes great interest in you. And that's why God says, you have found grace in my eyes. You know, one of my favorite old songs is a hymn, His Eyes on the Sparrow. And the thought of that song is, if God is taking care and watching over the sparrow, then why wouldn't he watch over you? You're worth so much more than that. If he doesn't stop watching the sparrow, he doesn't stop watching you. Watch this. You can write this down if you want. When Moses asked for direction, God responded with relationship. When we ask for direction, God responds with relationship. And that's better. Because if you think about it, would you rather be told the way to go or to have someone lead you there? Relationship is better. All God's people should ask to know his ways. But that's not just a direction, not just his way, but his ways, it says. It is to know his heart, his desires, his purpose, wisdom, holy principles, and even suffering, like in Philippians 3:10 through 11, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And in the middle of verse 13, Moses declares this, "Show me your way, that I may know you." Church, the ways of God and the way you are to go should both bring you to a greater knowledge of God. His ways make you know him more. So when you ask for direction, it should be so that you may know God more. From the knowledge and place of God's grace in your life, it is to know God more. Watch this. You've been given grace to know God. You've been given grace to know God so that you may know God more. You are given grace to come to God, and you are given further grace in the sight of God. John 1:16, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." That's not just a song that we sing sometimes. Grace on top of grace. But this emphasizes, watch this, the continual, abundant, overflowing blessing and favor that God has on your life. So that we can continue to know him more. God blesses you so that you can spend that blessing on knowing him more and making him known. And God doesn't give grace just so you can be saved. God gives grace so you will know him more and more. Watch this. We aren't born into a moment of salvation, but a lifetime of deepening relationship. It's not a moment of salvation. It is a life call to know God more. To know God more. Don't stop. Like a bride and a groom having to keep getting to know each other, we must pursue relationship with God. Church, if I got married and saw my wife once a week, my marriage is not going to be super great. My wife says hallelujah. Need some date nights. And Moses isn't just concerned about his own relationship with God. He's concerned about his family and his community, all the people he has influence over. And that I think that is twofold, because watch this. Out of a love for his people, Moses' people, he does everything that he can to bring them to God. And we should do everything we can to bring the people around us or that we have influence over to God, to have a greater relationship with him. And to deepen that even further, it's the same for our families. Do everything you can to bring them to God. Church, I did not have a choice growing up whether to come to church. But I knew my parents loved me, and in knowing that they loved me, I knew every decision that they made for me was based in that love. If you have influence over somebody, don't give them the option. I know my dad says, I'm going to push my kids or my grandkids up to the gate of heaven. They have to walk through, but I'm going to kick them as far as I can. And then second, it's our job not to just give glory to God, but to make sure as many people as possible give God glory. It is better to have not just the worship team worship the Lord. Not just me worshiping the Lord. Because I can do that by myself. And when I'm by myself, it's not as hard because everybody in the room wants to go there. But as pastors and worship leaders and leaders of families, our job is to not entertain people. Our job is to create a space and give tools for everyone around us to worship the Lord. He deserves more than we can give by ourselves. That's why a lot of times in worship, you'll see the team stop singing. If you didn't know what's happening in that moment, it's not because they always forgot the words or something like that. It's so that you will sing out of your heart, not just the words on a screen. God can be honored by those words. Some of them are very anointed. But what he loves is for you to tell him what's on your heart. It's like the difference between when you buy a card for your husband or wife on your anniversary and it says how much that you love them. But that's different than you actually writing in it. Take the moments to write on your heart to the Lord. Do everything you can to make sure God receives the most worship and glory possible. Give those around you the tools and space that they need. And Moses takes this thought a little deeper into our next point where he asks, show us your grace. Show us your grace. He is concerned for his people. Like we should be concerned for our families and even concerned for our valley because God wants to move here. And God then answers Moses by saying, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When we ask for direction, the best thing we can have is the promise of God's presence. So when you're praying, even when you don't feel like you get a direct answer, pray for God's presence. Because that's really all you need. It might not be all you want in the moment, but it is all that you need. His presence is what he promises. His presence is the promise. And in addition to that, he promised rest, which is, and this is what it means, God will settle you down to let you fall into place, to quiet you, to help you remain. It is where you cease striving and he does it. He will give you rest. And this is referring to the personal presence of God. Do you know that he wants you to have his personal presence? Personal presence. Remember that God does take personal interest in you and your people. He takes personal interest. And so it's not just you, it's all the people that you influence. Lead them to God's presence. And I love Moses' response. Watch this. He says, if your personal presence doesn't go with us, then I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. What if we had that mindset? What if we had that mindset? I was thinking about this. It would look something like this. God, unless I know your presence is walking out of this church with me, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to do it. Or God, unless I walk out of my home today in your presence, then I'm going to call in. Because I'm sick of not having your presence. Don't lie. Or God, I'm not going to go in this grocery store out of my car until I know your presence is with me. I want your way. Not just the way. I want your way that your presence will go with me. And Moses isn't only concerned with his people walking in God's presence just for the blessing of it. He wants all the nations around them to know it. Why? One, I would much rather God's reputation go before me than mine. We should want the enemy to know God is with us. And also this is missional. Israel was to bear the presence of God as a light to the world around them. You need to walk in God's presence so others will see it and want it. And in verse 16, we see this, that the only way for people to know about the grace on your life is to know that the presence of God is in your life. If they're going to see the grace of God on your life, they're going to have to see the presence of God in your life. Moses is saying there's no point in going where we're supposed to go and even doing what we're supposed to do if your presence isn't there for the world to see. Church, without God's presence, we just have religion, and there's already plenty of those. God's presence is essential to your testimony. Without it, we are indistinguishable from the rest of the world. Moses says, we will be separate from all the people on the face of the earth. Another translation says, we are peculiar people, and I know some of us relate to that. But we are meant to be different because we have God's presence. Watch this. Moses refused, get this, key in on this. Moses refused to be called God's people without God's presence. Don't tell people you're a Christian unless you live that out. Moses knew the only way to not fall back into the sin and the past that he just came out of, to not create another idol to worship, was to walk in the presence of God. Get this. We need good leaders, great fellowship, and true accountability. But most of all, we need the presence of God. Because watch this, the true pursuit of God's presence should remove the pursuit of anything else. Get this, people, leaders, Christians fall because they stop pursuing the presence of God. We fall when we don't pursue the Lord. Be ruined for anything else. I'll tell you this, I've been in such incredible moments with the Lord, both privately and in public, that it will never be enough this side of glory. I could tell you story after story of God moving. You know, even today, there are moments where I stop singing because I love to listen to the people of God sing. Sometimes I look at the lyrics and I want us as a church to sing them with all of our heart. I was reading in Revelation this morning in my devotion time where it says they sung the song as if it was a new song. Holy, holy, holy. Church, we get tired of songs pretty quick. But they sung a song that they've been singing and will sing for eternity every time as if it was a new song. I'm not saying we have to do that because I get bored of songs. But when you sing or when you pray, mean it with all your heart, with every word that you say, or take a moment and get your heart right. Don't sing those words unless you are going to mean them. And sometimes you have to sing them out of a desire to know them and mean them. And that's okay. But try to mean everything with your heart, to honor God with your lips, because you want to enter into His presence. You want to honor Him with everything that you do. Church, the distinguishing characteristic of God's people should be God's presence. Every time we gather, wherever and whenever, it should be filled with the presence of God. We should expect that, want that, and pursue that. According to 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. God's presence should be equated with that freedom in your life, in every gathering that we have. It was His presence that led Israel out of Egypt. They were following Him. His presence that kept providing for them. The pursuit of His presence that loosed them from the grip of idols and brought them to the promised land. Everything you need is found in the pursuit of God's presence. So when we gather, we should expect His presence. We should expect the freedom in Him, freedom from infirmity and sickness, freedom from bondage and depression, freedom to move about in His Spirit's desire, in His Spirit's will, expecting the gifts of the Holy Spirit, working in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. For signs and wonders, we should expect it all, not just because we want to see things, but because where God's presence is, there is freedom. And church, sometimes we got to get free. We got to get free. People respond to freedom. If you want someone in your life to come to Jesus, be free and share that freedom with them. It's a good prayer or a thought. God, show me your grace that I may show others your glory. Show me your grace that I may show others your glory. I thank you that your eye is upon me, that you watch me, that you go with me, and by your Spirit help me to show you to the world that there is a God with us. And church, when we ask for God's presence, according to verse 17, watch this, because we have found favor, we have found grace in the sight of God, and because He does know us by name, you know what He says? Yes. Can you receive that? When you ask to know God more, He's going to say, yes. Yes. Ask for and expect God's presence. If you are saved, you have already received grace, and God knows you by name. You have access to more. And I love this next part. Think about this. After God says yes, I will go with you. I will be with you. And this is after Moses encountered the burning bush. After Moses had spent days and weeks on the mountain in God's presence, after Moses had got to speak with God, presence to presence, like a friend, Moses then says, after all of that, show me your glory. You would have thought he'd had enough. And he says, show me your glory. That's our third thought for today. Show me your glory. And church, this is beyond what he has seen so far. It's more than what he had experienced or even asked for thus far. Church, there is more of God to behold than you can imagine or contain. More than you've experienced before. We haven't reached his end because he doesn't have one. Moses still wanted to go farther. He wanted something that surpassed all the revelation that he had already seen. More than even talking with God, past any experience, he just wanted God. He had already seen God manifest in different ways. The people had seen the fire of God, the cloud of his glory, signs and wonders, the parting of the Red Sea, and Moses was not content with just that. I'm going to challenge you, if you haven't seen the ocean part yet, there's probably more. And church, if Moses can ask that, why can't we? Why can't we ask for more? Moses was asking to see the complete sight of God's glory, his being, his spirit, without veil between them. He desired to cross over the chasm of our sin, to see God in relationship as Adam and Eve saw him before the fall. Moses was asking for his future to have a closer relationship with God than he had ever experienced so far. Church, we need to have that same heart. Every time you come in, you have the opportunity to know God more than you did before. Expect it. Moses, get this, was already called, already had relationship with God. He could have accomplished everything he was supposed to and even have God's presence in doing so. But he still asked for more, not out of blessing, but out of desire to know God. Church, where is your desire to know God at? Have you had enough? We must pursue God's presence. You know, when you are dating someone, you can't get enough of them. You just want to keep being with them, to know more about them, to spend time with them. You're even willing to look foolish to do so. You know, I can remember when I first started dating my wife, Jasper. She was my first girlfriend. There was a lot of new things happening in my mind. And I was probably overwhelmingly loving. I imagine I probably told my family, my guy friends, everybody, how much I love them. It was spilling out everywhere. Watch this. When we are in love with God, it spills out everywhere. The grace of God made a way to come to him, to be in relationship, but we can ask for more. We should keep wanting more. I haven't learned everything about my wife even. There's way more to God. In verse 19, God grants Moses as much of the request as he can handle. Now, Moses didn't do anything to deserve this. And this is an important point. It was strictly God's grace and compassion that allowed it. Paul quotes this same verse in Romans 9, 15 and 16. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on the God, on God who has mercy. Church, as a father, there are moments I issue grace to my children in different ways or even levels in order to bring them closer to me. Each one needs different amounts at different times to accomplish my will as a father, which is for them to be with me. If I adopt a child, I offer grace for that child to be a part of my family. And if they accept my name, I continue to offer grace, further grace, that they might know me more. In this instance of our passage in Exodus, grace is unlimited because God has no limit for us to know him. We're going to spend eternity doing so. It's an eternal grace. We can keep knowing him because he will keep offering grace. And then he says he will pass over in all his goodness. Does anybody want to receive that this morning? All the goodness of God. And it's not just his beauty, but all that is in his being is good. That's why he says, my goodness will pass before you. If I pass before you, all of me, everything about me, my judgment, my everything is good. So my goodness will pass before you. It's his nature, his character. And it says, he will proclaim his name before him. Moses was about to get a further revelation of who God was. And church, do you want a new revelation or a fresh outpouring of the Spirit this morning? God is the name that he tells you he is. What I mean by that is he is the thing. When he tells you he is the healer, he means he is the one that heals you. He is the provider. He is the one that provides for you. When he gives you his name, he gives you his character and what he does. He is the healer, the provider, the restorer, the sustainer, the joy giver, the prince of peace, the warrior, the victor, the savior. He is God. He is the name. That is his character. That is the description. But this is as much as Moses can handle. To see God's actual person, we would die. So God protects Moses, saying, get in the cleft of this rock. I want you to imagine this. The cleft of the rock, so there's only one direction Moses can see. And then God puts his hand on top of that. And he says, I'm going to put my hand here, and then I'm going to pass by. After I walk by, you can see my back. It's the same word for the back of the tabernacle, or the back of the altar, or the back of people worshiping God. It's in the sense, when you see the back of someone, you can know it's them, but it's the face that fully distinguishes them. You understand that. To see God's face, it would literally kill us. So he says, you can see my back. Another good translation of this is actually the after effects. Moses got to see the after effects of God walking by, because that's all he could handle. And Moses wanted all he could handle. And that is a challenge for us today. We don't just want his goodness. Don't just want his blessing. Don't just want direction for what to do next. I want to be like Moses this morning, that the most important moments of my life are the times I spend with the Lord, and to take every chance to do so and say, show me your glory. Will you stand across this place this morning as the worship team comes and the prayer team comes? First off, if you don't know the Lord and you want to repent of your sin, to receive forgiveness, to be saved from a life without God and receive a life even after death, then come and give your life to him. I promise you will not regret it. You will be choosing what is best. And then for the rest of us to do the same, to this morning say, I'm going to choose what is best in the same way that Mary did. In this moment, I want to know the Lord more. Everything that I can understand and handle, like Moses, show me your glory. If you want to be like Moses today, to refuse to go any further without God's presence. And more than that, if you want a fresh and new revelation of who God is saying, come to me. My answer is yes. Not just for direction, not just for an answer, not just for healing, because all of those things take place in the presence of God. Church, my question to you this morning is, do you want the Lord, all you can handle? And if you do, come and receive him right now. Come and press in. If you need prayer for anything else, you can pray with these people on the sides. If you just want the presence of God, a new revelation of the Holy Spirit, and you're saying yes because he is also saying yes, then now is your time. Now is your time. Let's press in and say, I want it. I don't want to leave here without it. You do that this morning? Let's press in.